Our responsive reading this morning is a Christmas litany. Join with us, if you would. As Christmas comes around again, Lord, we're tempted to say, we've heard all this before. We know the story by heart. Help us to see ourselves and our attitude in those in the original Christmas story. The innkeeper did not have room for you.
Help us to stop cluttering our lives with things that crowd you out.
Others missed the glory of the story. The shepherds saw it, even while they worked the graveyard shift at their lowly job.
May we see you and give you glory in our daily work, no matter how mundane. May every day be an opportunity to serve you and others.
The wise men journeyed hundreds of miles to find you.
Teach us that those who really seek will find. Give us grace to daily search for you and your will in our lives.
They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
May we in love, adoration, and worship give to you those things that are precious to us.
Show us that we are not all that different from King Herod.
Free us from jealousy and envy.
Help us to see the babe of the Bethlehem manger and the Christ of Calvary's cross in the faces of those we encounter day by day.
May we show your unconditional love and grace to everyone, that they may see the true meaning of Christmas in our words and deeds every day of the year.
Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share? Oh my. Which party? Who?
Steve has a Christmas party. Oh. Every Christmas Eve, and everybody's invited. Come to the party tonight at 7.
Tonight at 7. Okay, as long as it's not at 5 o'clock. Okay. Okay, very good. So put it on social media. Get the word out. The party's at Steve's house at 7. As music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, Here we are on the threshold of another Christmas. Oh, we look back and we have so many memories of childhood and youth and young adulthood and Christmases past. We pray now that you would help us that we might remember those, but help us that we might focus on Christmas present. Help us that we might focus on the fact that however long you allow us to remain here, that babe of the Bethlehem manger wants to be born anew and afresh in each one of our hearts. Remind us, Lord, that we have an opportunity to share Christmas and your love and your grace with so many others. Oh, it's not always the gift, Lord, so much as it is the giver. Our Bible tells us that you loved us so much that you gave. Remind us of your unconditional love for every single one of us here today. Oh, during this past year, we've perhaps not done or been all that we intended to do and be, but your loving grace reminds us that you still have your arms wide open for us. Help us, Lord, that we might learn to have those open arms for so many of our brothers and sisters who need a boost over this season of the year. So many that are grieving, so many that are dealing with health issues, so many, Lord, with financial uncertainties, so many of us who aren't as young as we used to be. Help us that we might look forward to all the gifts that you still have for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have this time together. Thank you for your love. Be with our troops today, scattered all over the globe. Oh, I'm sure just about every one of them, Lord, would rather be home with family and friends. But they've got a job to do, and they're doing it willingly. Be with their families, Lord. Give them a peace of mind and heart. Be with those today that are in nursing homes and assisted living. Be with those that are in hospitals. Be with those, Lord, that don't have a roof over their heads. Be with those that aren't going to be able to feast during this season. Many people who are wondering where their next meal is going to come from. Help us that we might do our part to reach out to them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us enough to send your Son. May we receive your gift willingly and share it openly. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you please come? While the ushers are coming, the offertory today is by Johann Sebastian Bach, and it is entitled Jesu, Joy of Man's Desire. Okay? Thank you. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us, for all of the many wonderful gifts you've given us down through the years. We pray now that you would bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we will light the Advent candle. We've already lit the candles of watching, preparation, and praise. The fourth candle of Advent is a candle promise. Mary sang of God's promise to our spiritual ancestors, Abraham and Sarah. God has promised that the poor, the hungry, the lost, and the lonely will be lifted up.
How I rejoice in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For he, the mighty one, is holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm does tremendous things, how he scatters the proud and haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands, and how he has helped his servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful, for he promised our ancestors, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to
them
forever.
Let us pray. God of promise, lift up the lowly and fill the hungry with good things. Fill us with your love, hope, and peace. May we be open to your promise and purpose for our lives. We pray in the name of your Son. Amen. At this time, it is my pleasure to present to you your sanctuary choir as they and you together share in the season with joy to the world.
Genesis 3, 8 to 15, 17 to 19. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree of whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman who you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." And to the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree, whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you are made from dust, and to dust you will return."
From the beginning to the end of the scriptures, we find numerous words in the Bible that refer to sin. In the original Greek and Hebrew, these words have various translations, including wickedness, iniquity, rebellion, deceit, disobedience, and missing the mark, just to name a few. The end result of them is what makes sin so deadly. They all lead to our being separated from God. Humans, who were created a little lower than the angels, are separated from their Creator. Romans 3:23 reminds us that all of us have sinned. Romans 6:23 warns us that the wages of sin is death. Away from God, our situation is hopeless.
Then the angel of God called again to Abraham from heaven. I, the Lord, have sworn by myself that because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your beloved son from me, I will bless you with incredible blessings and multiply your descendants into countless thousands and millions, like the stars above you in the sky and like the sands along the seashore. They will conquer their enemies, and your offspring will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth, all because you have obeyed me.
We are created in God's image, but when we're alienated from our Heavenly Father, life has no meaning. We are no longer entitled to the inheritance of eternal life. Many of us remember the Sperry and Hutchinson Company. They were the ones who came out with S&H green stamps. There were other trading stamps too. The idea was the same. The stamps were given with purchases. They were pasted in a book, and then when the books were full, they could be redeemed. These worthless pieces of paper could be used to purchase anything from a toothbrush to an automobile if you had enough books. When we're under the curse and rule of sin, life is without hope. But God has promised to redeem us, to save us, not by our works or merit, but through God's unconditional, redeeming love.
Please join with us.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6 through 7. The people who walk in darkness shall see a great light, a light that will shine on all of those who live in the land of the shadow of death. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule with perfect fairness and justice from the throne of his father David. He will bring true justice and peace to all the nations of the world. This is going to happen because the Lord of Heaven's armies has dedicated himself to do it.
Throughout the Old Testament, the promise is repeated over and over again. The Messiah is coming. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the message is loud and clear. The Messiah is here. In the rest of the New Testament, Acts through Revelation, the message is the Messiah, Emmanuel, is coming again.
Luke chapter 1, 26 through 35. The following month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin Mary, engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Congratulations, favored lady. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. Very soon now, you will become pregnant and have a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great and shall be called the Son of God. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he shall reign over Israel forever. His kingdom shall never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of God shall overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be utterly holy, the Son of God." Luke chapter 1, 38. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever he wants. May everything you said come true." And then the angel disappeared.
God did not go to a palace or a temple or to a bustling metropolis to find the one to carry and deliver God's Son. God selected a young peasant girl, probably in her early teens, from a small village. Can you imagine how this turned Mary's world upside down? Mom? Dad? Joseph? I need to tell you something. But don't go jumping to conclusions. Is it not what you think?
Thank you.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. About this time, Caesar Augustus, the Roman Empire, or emperor, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the nation. This census was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone was required to return to his ancestral home for this registration, and because Joseph was a member of the royal line, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judah, King David's ancient home, journeying there from the Galilean village of Nazareth. He took him with Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn.
Again, not a palace or temple, not a medical center with the best neonatal intensive care unit in a big city. No, the Son of God was born most likely in a cave, probably used to shelter cows and sheep and donkeys. No delivery room, not even a midwife, just a young teenage girl and her very nervous husband.
Oh. 16. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger.
The creator of the universe did not use social media to announce the birth of God's son, nor was there a worldwide news bulletin. Instead, the message was given to the workers of one of the lowliest jobs on the ladder of society, sheep herders. And they were also the ones at the bottom of the seniority list of that job. They were the ones who had to work the midnight shift.
Why, John 1, 1 through 14. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent John the Baptist as a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the true light. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to identify it. Later on, the one who is the true light arrived to shine on everyone coming into the world. But although he made the world didn't recognize him when he came. Even in his own land and among his own people, the Jews, he was not accepted. Only a few would welcome and receive him. But to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. All they needed to do was trust him to save them. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth resulting from human passion or plan, but from the will of God. And Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness and truth. And some of us have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Heavenly Father.
Now we have come full circle from being separated from God to once again being united with God through God's unconditional loving grace. Now we can rejoice that through the babe of the Bethlehem manger and the Christ of Calvary's cross, we have Emmanuel, God with us.
Sing.
We need to give thanks where thanks is due. First of all, for the choir, a lot of them weren't able to be here today. Some of them who are here today probably shouldn't be. But we appreciate all the work that they've put into it. We appreciate their real director that they've had here, Terry. So good to have her with us. We appreciate Wayne and Allison and the work that they've done on this. Don't you think? We appreciate our extended choir that has shared with us today. We had to kind of drop back and punt and get you all in on all of it. But hopefully the Christmas story has come through. Hopefully there will be a song in your heart as you go through today and tomorrow and into the new year, realizing that God loved you enough to send his son just for you if need be. We appreciate all of you and all that you've done. Thank you so much. Blessings on you. Thank you. I trust that you're going to have a very blessed Christmas. Remember, 4:40 this evening, our Christmas music concert, and 5 o'clock, our candlelight service, less than an hour. Come share with us during this special time, and then we'll allow you to spend the time with your family as we celebrate this very special time of the year. I have it on good authority, actually, because I called. Cracker Barrel's only open till 2, so don't stand around and talk too long if you're headed that way. Now, may the babe of the Bethlehem manger be born anew and afresh in your hearts. May God's love and grace fill you to overflowing. May you discover that it's Christmas every day of the year because of whose you are. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.